May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning comes from the epistle lesson, Romans chapter 6, especially these words. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, in today's gospel lesson, we are given a picture, a word picture, of the baptism of Jesus. St. Matthew lays out a whole scene for us. Jesus coming to John the Baptist, John protesting, Jesus being baptized by John in the Jordan, and as he's coming out, the heavens opening up, the voice of the Father heard, the Holy Spirit descending like a dove. What a scene that must have been to witness. You and I have seen baptisms in our own lifetimes, perhaps not quite as glorious as that one. Perhaps you remember your own, or perhaps you can picture in your mind when a child or grandchild was baptized. You can see the pastor, the sign of the cross, the water, the family and friends gathered round, perhaps the lighting of a baptismal candle or the giving of a white garment. It is truly a glorious scene when we have the privilege of seeing God bring someone into his family through baptism. And yet, there is another picture of baptism, one that we don't necessarily see with our eyes, a spiritual picture, a picture that St. Paul gives us here today in Romans 6. This is a picture of baptism from God's perspective, if you will. It's a picture of what happens when a person is baptized that is just as real as those physical pictures you have in your mind of people gathered around a baptismal font. And the picture is very striking. It's a picture of a death and of a resurrection. It is a word picture of how in baptism our lives are connected to Christ, how we become intertwined with him, how our lives become a reflection, a manifestation, really, of Jesus' own life. Now, to start it all off in Romans 6, St. Paul is contradicting an opinion that perhaps some Romans held, and I think people today hold this position as well, namely, I can do whatever I want because God will forgive me. Or, it's okay if I'm not perfect, God will forgive me. Of course, there's a shred of truth there. God does forgive our sins, no matter how large the number. But there thoughts like we should continue to sin so that grace may abound, this is pretty far from God's word. We don't sin more so that we can get more grace. And yes, perfection is the demand that God's law places on us. So devastating is our sin, really on our whole being, that it merits death, eternal death. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Paul asks. And yet we do. Over and over, Paul enjoins us to flee from sin, to resist the devil, to put away the works of darkness. And yet, we like some of those sins. Some of them maybe we don't like, but we find ourselves entrapped in them. We may fall into sin when we are angry, or despairing, or worried, or fearful. Our feelings can cause us to do or think or say all sorts of things that we later regret. And that's only the sin we're aware of. There is an underlying spiritual condition of sin, chronic sin, that infects all of us. And it is into that situation that Paul writes. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? I want you to think about those words, have been baptized. Paul says, you were baptized. It's something that happened to you. For you language buffs out there, it's a passive verb. Baptism was done to you. And this is a glorious thing. You didn't decide to get baptized. It's not something you initiated. If you were baptized as an infant, you had no idea what was going on. If as an adult, you didn't just wake up one morning and think to yourself, oh, I think I'll go get baptized today. No, the Holy Spirit of God, working through his word, worked that in you. God baptized you, no matter whose hands actually did it. But more importantly, Paul says that your baptism connects you to the death of Jesus. Baptism is applying the death of Christ to you. Paul goes on, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. And so what appears to be a happy, smile-filled day with a bunch of pictures and people laughing and giggling about this great thing that's happening, well, that's true, but Paul says you're actually witnessing a death at the baptismal font. The death of Jesus, the death of the one being baptized. That's because the only way to deal with sin is to kill it. According to our sinful nature, we approach God as arrogant, self-centered, self-righteous. We seek to justify ourselves before God and before each other. We put the blame for our misdeeds at the feet of other people. We try to stand before God in that condition. The story of Naaman in the Old Testament comes to mind. I don't know if you remember Naaman, but he was a great general in the Syrian army. The king loved him. He was the king's right-hand man. But Naaman was stricken by leprosy. And an Israel servant girl that was in Naaman's employ told him to go to Israel. The prophet in Israel, who was Elisha at the time, will heal you. And so Naaman goes, but he brings lavish gifts of gold and clothes and all of these things in order to try to show Elisha how important he is, maybe to try to pay him for this healing. But Elisha will have none of it. And he tells Naaman to go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and he'll be healed. In fact, he doesn't go out to Naaman himself. He sends his servant out to tell this to Naaman. And Naaman is indignant. Do you not know who I am? He must have thought. There are better rivers in Syria than the Jordan that I could be healed in. He's self-important and self-righteous and thinks he has something to bring to God for this healing, but he doesn't. Eventually, he's convinced to do this simple thing, to be washed in the Jordan, and his washing in the Jordan is an act of repentance. It's an act of giving up on himself, an act of having his self-righteousness killed and drowned and letting God do everything. And that's what your baptism is too. You brought nothing to it. God worked in it, and he is working daily in your baptism to destroy that pride and selfish heart that all of us have. But more than just our own death of self, our own death of our pride, Paul says we have been united with Jesus in a death like his. We know about Jesus' death. It was torturous. It was brutal. It was preceded by scourging and mocking and beating. On the cross, Jesus took on sin. On the cross, Jesus was counted as the worst sinner that has ever lived because all of our sin was put on him. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He was made so sinful that he was forsaken by his Father. That is the death that you are joined to in baptism, the death in which all of your sin and mine was put to death, not by your death, but by his. That death in which Jesus took away the sin of the whole world. That death whereby your sin, your self-importance, your self-reliance, your self-righteousness was put away from the face of God as far as the east is from the west. Our God remembers our sin no more. In that death, Christ destroyed sin's death grip on you. And in baptism, that victory becomes your victory. That's the reality of baptism. You died there in that font, not in the torturous and brutal way that our Lord died, but in a blessed way, in a lavish washing away of sin. But you say, I don't see death when I see a baby being baptized. I only see life, and that's true. Because Paul goes on, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Our lives are united to Christ, Paul says. We are united to his death and to his resurrection. His death becomes yours, and his resurrection becomes yours. Think about it this way. Every human being is composed of a body and a soul. Each of us, believer or unbeliever, because of sin, we die twice, as it were. We die once in the soul and once in the body. We think of hell as the place where souls die, but your soul has already died here, and it's been raised. You will never experience that forsakenness of God like Jesus did, that hell. You are a new creature, a new creation in God. Your soul was raised from the dead in baptism, and so your body will be raised again in glory, in perfection, in splendor on the last day. That's the promise of baptism. That just as Christ was raised from the dead, physically, immortal, a new heavenly body, you and I will be raised from the dead physically, immortal, with new heavenly bodies, so that we may rejoice in the presence of God for eternity. And that promise, this dying and rising, it's not just something out there or in the past, it's a part of our day-to-day lives. You remember what Luther says about baptism. He says this, "Baptism indicates that the old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever." Baptism defines your now. It defines who you are right now, a child of God. Satan can tempt and torment us. He seeks to draw us away from God, to deny the birthright that you have in Christ Jesus, and you will fall. You will fail, and you are baptized. That's what you need to tell yourself and Satan. I am baptized. That is the picture of your life now. I am baptized. Oh, Christians, firmly hold this gift and give God thanks forever. Baptism gives the power to uplift in all that you endeavor. When nothing else revives your soul, your baptism stands and makes you whole, and then in death completes you. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.